Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I am Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we are hosting this program just for you.
Let's talk about Christianity, Keith.
And we certainly shall. We are ready for episode number 35?
No, we're at 36 now, aren't we?
Really? Seriously?
I thought for sure you knew. I thought you acted so confident.
I did.
Maybe we are at 30. Just go with 35. And if this isn't episode 35, we're sorry.
I don't know if that's right or not. Now I'm curious. And I gotta, we'll get to the bottom of this here in just a second. But anyway, we're excited to be able to bring this episode to you, whatever episode it is. And
35.
It is 35?
It is 35.
I thought it was 35. Episode number 35. And we, for the past several weeks, have been talking about problems.
Everybody's got problems, Keith.
Everybody got problems. And we've so far addressed, what, two different topics?
We talked about schools.
Yes. We talked about church.
Mm-hmm.
And
today we go into
2 weeks to talk about those two.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got two topics left that we want to address. And the first of those topics is the home.
Mm.
And you know, that's really a
problems in the home.
It's really a, you know, a very, very broad topic when you start talking about the home, just as talking about schools or talking about the church. There's so many different ways that you can look at it.
You can go into a lot of different places with this topic right here. A whole lot of different places.
You know, are we going to talk about the problems that might exist between spouses? We're going to talk about the problems that exist between parents and children.
Or problems that plague the home collectively.
In-laws.
Keith. So, what are you talking about here?
Anyway.
Why'd you say in-laws, Keith?
Well, I've heard.
I've heard
that some people, you know, have some problems in that regard. I'll just throw this out. I think I've mentioned this before, but my grandma Jean, wise woman, you know, miss her dearly.
Mm-hmm.
But she had the best advice for dealing with in-laws that I think I've ever heard.
And what was that advice, Keith?
You got to remember this dates back, you know, probably to the 1960s.
Different generation.
Roads were not as they are today.
Mm-hmm.
Bridges were not as they are today. Her advice was 500 miles in a mighty big river.
Interesting.
She said that was the best way to deal with in-laws. 500 miles and a mighty big river. But the point is there are so many different ways that we could go, and obviously we're not going to talk about all of them. We do, however, have some things that we do want to talk about, problems that we face within the home.
And the first one is a biggie. And that is communication within the home.
Why is that a problem?
Why is communication a problem within the home?
Yeah.
How often do you talk to your kids, Keith? I mean, you really, really talk to them about deep things, deep emotional understandings.
Well, it depends on what they've done to get in trouble.
Exactly. We need to have more communications within our homes, Keith. Parents can't be afraid to talk to their kids, and kids can't be afraid to talk to their parents.
Well, that's actually getting down to point number two that we've got listed there.
Yep. It'd be a good feeder.
It's kind of funny how these things keep overlapping, isn't it?
Number two kept going back to the same point, number one.
Yes.
And that was the Bible.
Interesting. We could keep looping it back around that way. But communication. You know, communication is one of those things that for the most part, everybody assumes is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Until there's a problem.
Exactly.
And then, you know, then all of a sudden we realize that, we do have a problem here.
You will hear parents talking out in public, "Oh, we communicate great as a family. I communicate great with my kids," or "my kids communicate great with me." And then something happens, and do they really communicate as well as they thought they communicated?
I want to go to actually a passage that I don't think I've ever heard applied to the home before. This, I know this is kind of random.
You usually go with random passages, though, but and they work out.
Twice within the past week, I have heard lessons that have referred to this passage of Scripture. And during the second lesson, which I believe was Sunday, I can't remember who it was that was talking about it. But John chapter 21, Jesus is talking to Peter. And in John 21, beginning in verse 15, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" Now, and of course, this goes on two more times. "He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said, 'Tend my sheep.' The third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Now, on this topic of communication, I was thinking of this Sunday as this passage was being read and discussed. You know, in our homes, do we make the assumption that love is there?
I would say yes.
Without communicating that emotion or that feeling.
They just, I know my parents love me. Or I know my kids love me.
Sometimes it even happens between spouses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know my wife loves me.
Yeah. And, you know, put yourself in Peter's shoes for just a moment. I think a lot of times we look at this from Jesus' perspective, but put yourself in Peter's shoes. Three times Jesus asks him the same question. Do you love me? Now, I know that if I were to go home right now and my wife, you know, walk in the door and my wife were to say, "Do you love me?" Yes. "Do you love me?" Yes. "Do you love me?" By that third time, the Bible says Peter was grieved because Jesus asked him the third time. I think that I would be grieved also if I were asked that, you know, three times, just bam, bam, bam.
Mm-hmm.
But from Peter's perspective, it's easy to understand how or why he was grieved because Jesus asked him these three times. Was Peter, however, well, obviously Peter was assuming that Jesus knew that he loved him. He said, "Lord, you know all things." Think about the response that Jesus gave each of those three times. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep."
Feed my sheep.
Feed my sheep. Jesus responded to Peter's answer of love with something for Peter to do. And the implication that is given there is that if Peter loved Jesus, Peter was also going to love all of those who were Jesus's. Mm-hmm. In our families, do we make the assumption, without it going any further, that love is there? There is no need for us to communicate that love. Do we fail to communicate because of that assumption? Do we fail to communicate because we get aggravated or annoyed sometimes?
Or do we fail to communicate because we're fearful or we're afraid of confrontation?
Sometimes we do. Now, when we start talking about that fear of confrontation, you know, I'm looking at notes that we made, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're
it's been a while.
Looking at these. I can't even read my writing there on
it's
that
It's pretty
note,
bad. It looks like chicken scratch.
It is bad.
You made your mark on the paper. But
I don't know what I wrote there, so we'll have to go with everything else that's written. But you know, sometimes there is a fear of confrontation. And this, of course, going back to the relationship between spouses, the number one, and this is actual data, and it's several years old, but I can't imagine it having changed. The number one reason that couples fight is over money.
I can definitely see that, yeah.
Yes. Is there a fear of confrontation leading to a failure to communicate, which only compounds problems? There, of course, are other problems or fears of confrontation that exist, not just on the relationship of spouses, but with the parents and children as well.
I think sometimes it's more of a fear, almost of awkwardness, because, I mean, yeah, you talk to your family and you guys may communicate well, but do you communicate about issues that matter, or do you communicate about issues that sometimes can be very, very awkward? And a lot of times I think that's where that fear stems from, is we just don't want to talk about it. You know, we're going to let it just go under the radar. We're not going to talk about it much.
Yeah. And, you know, as we talk about that awkwardness and the fear that might center around any awkwardness, your family should be, anyway, the people that you are the closest to.
Mm-hmm.
There really shouldn't be those barriers of awkwardness. However, we know they exist. And that awkwardness may exist on any number of different levels, as we have mentioned. It may be between spouses. It may be between parents and children, between children and parents, between siblings.
Yes.
Sometimes that happens. But, you know, we've got a lot of things that are happening within our world. And I suppose that every generation has faced a generation gap.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me give you a personal experience here. My parents are very, very much older. And when I came into this world, my mom was 35. My dad was 36. So, I mean,
very, very much older.
So we're talking, you know, a very, very large generation gap.
If you need somewhere to stay, let me know.
I will.
Okay. Because, you know, that was.
But, you know, my dad's never had social media. He don't even really mess with social media. My mom, she's got the book face, you know. She uses the book face and she tags me in every single thing she posts on Facebook.
Yeah, she does.
That's
yeah.
another situation.
It's
that's
sweet.
Yeah, I heart my son, especially those one videos. I heart my son. Those really make my day. But, I mean, that generational gap was there. And when I was a teenager, especially, when, you know, you're going through a whole different set of issues than they went through when they were kids. You know, we experienced so many different things than they experienced when they were children and teenagers. And I'm sure it was there with your kids as well. Even, you know, you weren't an older parent, but you were.
Okay, so here's the deal with that. And you may agree with me or you may disagree, but I'm going to get deeply philosophical here with
Uh-oh.
You. Yes.
Uh-oh. You're going to embark the words of life on me?
Those generation gaps have always existed, but maybe those gaps aren't quite as broad as we
like they are.
As we think they are. I'm going to throw this out, and like I said, you may agree with me or you may disagree with me. I believe that generation gaps are very real, but I think that they're also, to some degree, created and perpetuated.
Really?
I think we want to use that as an excuse sometimes. You know, my parents can't understand me because they're of a different generation. And,
right.
And you know, that's convenient.
That is a convenient excuse.
It's very convenient. I can't talk to my parents. They'll never understand.
Right.
They're not. They don't know what it's like to be to grow up in this world. And here's the thing about it. when we start using that as an excuse, we are sort of setting the stage for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is a generational gap between children and parents and children and grandparents, you know, sometimes. Although, see, now you've got me deeply philosophical here.
Mostly sidetracked.
Why do so many children feel more comfortable with their grandparents than they do with their parents?
Well, their grandparents let them do anything and everything they want a lot of times. Very, very lenient.
A lot of times that is true, but it also may be that the grandparents have reached an age where they're more likely, they're more willing to relate to the children than the parents are.
Ooh, good point.
I know that's mighty deep.
That's a good point. So what you're saying is possibly, you know, parents don't take time to relate to their kids to an extent, and their kids sometimes, well, you know, my parents don't understand me. They're older and they're from a different generation.
I think it goes back to a lack of willingness to communicate sometimes. But anyway, here's the point that I was trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
The temptation, I use the word temptation. The temptation may be there, though, to say, no, my parents don't know what it's like to grow up in this day and age, you know. But to carry that over to other aspects,
mm-hmm.
What about the temptation to apply that to temptation? Get back in your chair there. I
about fell out of my chair just now.
About fell out of your chair, but you see what I'm saying, though.
I do see what you're saying.
My parents didn't face the same temptations that I face today. Mm-hmm. However, John wrote in 1 John 2, beginning in verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Those three avenues of temptation that John mm-hmm. mentions there, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Any temptation you can think of is going to fall into one or more of those three categories. I suppose there are some that overlap. It does not, you cannot think of a temptation, of a sin, of a transgression that does not fall into one or more of those categories. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what generation you grew up in, what decade you grew up in, what things that you may have faced. Okay, guess what? Temptation may not look the same today as it did in the 40s or 50s or 60s.
Mm-hmm.
All those being before my time, of course. Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, they were. But they may not, it may not have the same face on it, but at the heart of it, temptation is always temptation.
So what you're saying in summary is even though, okay, my parents may not have faced the same temptations, okay, let's say a temptation on social media. They may not have faced that specific temptation, but they faced something that was similar to that temptation.
They have faced temptations that would fall into
those three categories.
One or more of those three
interesting
categories.
Interesting.
But here's the other thing about it. If we were to say that, if we were to say, my parents didn't face the same temptations that I face today, mm-hmm. and therefore they can't relate to me, they can't understand, and we just draw that line. We say it's impossible for them to understand. They didn't walk in my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between that and saying the same of Jesus?
You're deeply I can't say the word. It can't come.
Philosophical.
There we go.
Philosophical.
You're deeply philosophical today.
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, we look at Jesus. We could say the same of him. You know, Jesus didn't have to deal with social media. We keep picking on social media. It's just a convenient one for us to pick on. You know, Jesus didn't have to deal with pornography in his day and time. Although I'm knowing humanity, I'm sure that there was some form that existed even back
at
then.
That time.
But you know, okay, Jesus may not have dealt with those, but temptation is still temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus were going to have succumbed to temptation then, temptation itself isn't any greater, even though it may have a different face on it.
Right. That's a good point.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about problems in the home.
Oh, yeah.
And we're on our last point now, and that is consistency within the home.
Consistency.
Now, what do you mean by consistency within the home?
Well, you brought it up. I was going to see what you meant by it.
You're the one who wrote it down.
Oh, yeah, you can tell because that's my
exactly
chicken scratching.
Your mark.
With consistency within the home, you know, we need our homes to be safe havens.
Mm-hmm.
We need our homes to be godly.
Mm-hmm.
We need our homes to be productive places for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do that? And if we are allowing things into our homes that are ungodly or unrighteousness. How are we going to tell our children that this or that is wrong if we are letting something into our homes that is
toxic, you know, to our spirituality?
Sure. You know, there needs to be consistency throughout our lives as Christians. And you know, not that you need reminded, but the title of this program is Let's Talk About Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When we talk about Christianity, we know that it is essential that we be Christians no matter who we are with, what we are doing, where we are, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We are Christians first and foremost. And the situation that we might find ourselves in should not change our attitude toward godliness.
We should not sacrifice our beliefs for different obstacles that we have to overcome in life.
And, you know, we all wear so many different hats in this world today. We all have so many varied responsibilities and you know, we find ourselves in playing different roles mm-hmm. relative to whatever is going on. You know, in one role, you may be an employee, and you know you're going to work, and you are working for someone else. Within that role, you may be working with the public, you may be working with a set group of individuals, but you know you have that circle within your life. In another role, you may come to church and worship, and you may have that circle that is a part of your life. And then you have your family, and that mm-hmm. is its own circle. And then, you know, so many different other things. You may be a part of your school's parent-teacher organization,
right.
and you know, have that circle and that part of your life. But all of those things should fall under the umbrella or the blanket or, you know, however mm-hmm. you want to describe it, of our Christianity.
And in all those circles, whatever they may be, you have to demonstrate the same Christian attributes and the same Christian convictions that you demonstrate within the entirety of your life.
And within our homes, since that's what we're talking about, that consistency is absolutely essential. And it doesn't matter, mm-hmm. again, which way we are looking. It may be the relationship between spouses. Right. It may be the relationship between cousins or aunts and uncles or grandpas and grandmas or children or...
whatever it may be.
Our primary devotion must be to God.
Well, consistency for me is a lot to your point. Have you ever heard a kid say, well, my parents are a hypocrite. My parents tell me I can't do this, but then they do it.
Right.
I think consistency starts in the home with parents following the guidelines that they set for their children as well.
Sure.
You know, maybe your kid, you don't allow your child to watch a specific TV program, but then you go and watch that TV program.
Well, and, you know...
And certain programs may be more suited for adults than they are for kids, but at the end of the day... you know, they don't see consistency within the home. They're going to have a lot of...
Our children are very smart.
Uh-huh.
They notice these things. They pay attention.
Right.
They know what parents are doing, and mm-hmm. they know how parents are acting, and they know when their parents are behaving in manners that are ungodly or unrighteous, and... they know if that kind of consistency that you were talking about exists. They most certainly do.
And if that consistency does exist within your home, if you do follow the same guidelines and the same set of rules that you set for your child, then your child is going to respect those rules and those guidelines more than they will if you follow them or if you don't.
Certainly it will be easier for them to respect.
Exactly. So that's what consistency for me in the home.
Absolutely. Okay, we are going to wrap this point up. Anything else you want to add on that
before I'm good.
Okay.
I got my spiel.
So, episode number 35, still talking about Everybody Got Problems. We want to leave you with some contact information. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if there are things that you agree or disagree with relative to the things that we have discussed, please send us your feedback. We want your questions. We want your input. We want you to feel mm-hmm. as though you have a stake in this program as well. My email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And mine is zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And you can also find us on Facebook.
At Let's Talk About, a Christian radio program and podcast, or facebook.com/Let's Talk About Christianity.
And don't forget our website, letstalkaboutchristianity.com. That is, we've got our blog on there. We've got random stuff on there. Mm-hmm. We've got our all of our podcasts, or a lot of our podcasts on there. I don't think we have all of them, but
the majority of them.
All of that is there. Please make use of those resources. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.